Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, I'm Jackie Cation. You are about to listen to the Dork Forest. Let's give you the info about it. First of all, you know the websites. DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, if you like a determiner, JackieCation.com has everything. All of my podcasts, including videos of my stand-up schedule, merchandise you can purchase if you would like, and a lot more info than you possibly even need. Let's do the credits. Mike Rickberg sang and produced and composed that song at the beginning of the show. He sang with his wife, Sarah. It's very beautiful. At the end of the program, he sings his version of the Mexican Hat Dance. That's Mike Rickberg. Vilmos fixes JackieCation.com. He is the web designer over there. And Patrick Brady fixes the audio. And in this case, there's a video intro. Very exciting. Anyway, those are the websites. If you want to support the show, you're doing it already by listening to it or watching it. And another way is to tell your friends and family, go on iTunes, do a review. Another way is to just give me money. Yeah. You could go use the donate button. You can make it even monthly if you're okay with making things monthly. You do a PayPal monthly. There's a monthly choice on PayPal. The PayPal is a button on the Jackie Cation or the Dork Forest website, and it goes directly to me. Thank you very much. I will use it wisely or foolishly. Your call as well. Now, my email address, jackie@jackiecation.com, is where you can contact me if you have any questions or concerns and about the Dork Forest. And I do have a Venmo account. It's jackie-cation, oddly enough. Another way to support the show is on dorkforest.com and jackiecation.com. There's an Amazon link. And the Amazon link just takes you to Amazon. You order like normal, and it supports the show because you came from Jackie Cation or dorkforest.com. Very exciting. Other than that, there is a Bandcamp. You can, if you have listened to all the episodes that are free and you need more content, there are several live episodes that are at thedorkforest.bandcamp.com. And those cost me a couple of bucks, so I charge a couple of bucks. There's also a storytelling album there that you can listen to some stories that I did live. And there are 17 free episodes before the Dork Forest was pre-recorded. So the audio isn't very good, but the guests were super funny and fun and dorky. So if you want to do that, go to thedorkforest.bandcamp.com. Other than that, let's see if there are other things that I should be talking about. Possibly the merch. Yeah, if you want to buy merch. The only other thing I want to talk about is the merch. You can get Dork Forest t-shirts, and you can get stand-up comedy t-shirts. You can get my albums or my DVD over at jackiecation.com/merch. There's pins, there's a challenge coin, there's a bunch of new things happening over there. Anyway, a lot of information. I don't think I've missed anything, but who cares? Let's get into the show.
Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I am in my home doing another Dork Forest, but this time with longtime comedy friend, Christine Blackburn. Welcome to the program, Christine Blackburn.
Aw, hi, Jackie. We have been friends for so long. It's nice.
It's nice. I think we met at an open mic in Glendale.
That's right. The Stage Left Coffee House. I met my second husband there. And I met a lot of people there. You know who used to go there a lot was Hal Sparks. Remember Hal?
I do remember Hal Sparks.
Super talented. Went on to do so much good acting. Still
sure.
does.
Right, really right. And still doing stand-up, or who knows if he's doing it right now, but to my knowledge, he is still in the game, as the kids say.
Yeah, he certainly is. Certainly is, yeah.
You took a bit of a lateral move and went full-bore storytelling, right?
Pretty much. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Obviously, it's easier than stand-up, obviously. You know, that's no question.
How is it easier than... need a button just like you need a punchline. You need an arc.
You wouldn't believe how much storytelling that is completely unacceptable is out there. Do you know what I mean? Like stuff that is not good. Just like comedy.
Like plumbing. Are you kidding me? There isn't a job in the world that isn't being done poorly. let's not do it poorly.
That's true. Interesting. That's so interesting.
Yeah, what the heck? So, but Storyworthy is a podcast too, right?
Yeah, Storyworthy is a podcast. I'm celebrating my 10-year anniversary right now in July.
You've been
on it a couple of times.
Yep. And it was fun. That's right.
My first guest was July 10th with comedian Sharon Houston.
Okay.
And I still have her on my shows. She's so funny and so talented. She's just great.
She did a Dork Forest about 2 months ago.
I don't think I heard that one.
Well, it was about it was a deep dive into some serious Netflix. It was her and then Maria Bamford sort of back to back doing like weird reality shows on Netflix absolutely. I mean, just a lot of them. They really like watching them.
What was hers? What was it?
I can't remember.
What was Sharon's deep dive? I wonder.
People should totally go look that up because I have got nothing.
Now this year, celebrating my 10th, I got Kevin Nealon on the show next week. So I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
That is great.
And I've been trying to get Katie Couric, and that might seem odd, but I've always liked her. And also we share the same birthday.
Oh, okay. Natal? Like your same natal birthday.
Except she's like 9 years older, but
right. But the same month and when is your birthday?
January 7th.
Well, happy early birthday.
And also Nick Cage. So, you know, it's the three of us, but right? I always like Katie and I've had such a hard time getting her. I don't know why that seems to baffle me. It shouldn't baffle me. It's like, well, because Christine, she's a big star and you're not, but
they're all super busy, right? I'm always surprised at J. Keith Van Stratton getting, the guests that he gets on his show,
yeah.
Go Fact Yourself.
Yeah,
him and
yeah,
Alan
yeah.
Long do that podcast.
Yeah, well, that's a bigger show because it's picked up by.
But remember when he used to do those live shows where it was he was a pretend. He would pretend that
talk
it was being
host,
filmed
yeah.
as a talk show host.
Yeah,
and you'd show up and you're like, "What the hell is I don't know." I mean, and I would ask him, and I'm like, "How did you? Why did?" Hot Dick Cavett? What the fuck?
Yeah.
And he would say, well, I just asked him. And
yeah,
I said,
I just asked him.
How did you ask him? Because how did you get a hold of him? That's the real thing. You
well,
have to go
there's
through.
IMDb Pro. That's
oh,
a big
is that'll
way,
do it?
That, yeah, because you get their agent, their manager, their publicist.
Oh.
Publicists, it's better to just call them directly rather than do the email because publicists, let me tell you something, as you know, Jackie, they need to get their talent content. They need to say to their guy, you know, do you want to do this, or this week? Because all these people want you.
Okay.
And I've found all these people that are dying to have you on their show. So what do you think? So they want you in the queue, whether they go to you or not. So believe me, when you call a publicist, they want to hear from you. So that's usually how you can get anybody's. And that's how I got Katie Couric's, but I don't know.
This is a very good tip.
Yeah.
I bet you you're right. He's been doing something like that the whole time.
Yeah.
And it never occurred to me, you might want to do like a professional level thing instead of, you know, just going, hey, do you have that guy's email address? I wouldn't text him. That seems weird. But emailing him probably seems weird too at a certain level. Like to ask Tom Hanks at a certain level.
But then again, you know that
you might as well try.
Person, yeah, just a person, you know.
Yeah, everybody's just a person in the 11th hour. But are they people who play tennis? This
yes,
is my real question, Christine Blackburn. You enjoy a racket sport. You know, the longtime listener of the Dork Forest loves pickleball, and we're going to have to get to it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I want to start with one that I know, badminton, ping pong, something. I don't know.
I love all that.
You love all the racket sports?
All racket sports, yes, I do. In fact, I've never played squash, but I've played really everything else. Yeah, I love – my daughter and I play badminton quite a bit out in the rain. There's no rain. I'm in California. We play on the courtyard. And then I also have this little portable ping pong net that I stretch across my dining room table. And you can play ping pong. It's really kind of cool.
Right. You have – okay, so you have invested – in a badminton kit and a thing to turn your dining room into a ping pong table.
Yeah, I got about 8 paddles in badminton. You know, you can get a badminton racket for $15 or $1,500. I guess that seems like obvious, but I was shocked when I saw very expensive badminton rackets.
Right. That feels like there's clearly some sort of professional work being done at another level.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
it's not just – because we had a badminton kit when I was a kid – And it was all right. You just had to get some sort of tall person to set it up.
Yeah.
And that was the real challenge. And there was of the several weird toys that I had growing up, a badminton net was one of the funniest.
We would also play over the power lines on the road. You know, that would be the net that high up. We'd just do it like that.
Right. Shuttlecock up in the air. Fun to say, shuttlecock.
It is
got the word shuttle in it.
Yeah. They did. It is a funny word, shuttlecock. I happen to have shuttlecocks that are made of real feathers and light up. Thank you very much.
Oh, wow. How glamorous.
They have like these little LED lights in them. So when you play at dusk, you can see them when you're hitting them. It's really fun, honestly. And I have now with social distancing and stuff, like I have people coming, you know, a friend will drop by, believe me, like every 3 weeks, nothing more than that. But say somebody comes over, like my friend Lauren with her dog, and then we can each pick up a badminton racket have the scoop ball game we do too.
Right.
And you can pick that up and kind of like do something together that I think, you know, is okay COVID-wise.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay, especially with like bad – if you leave things out in the sun for 3 hours in Los Angeles, it has been disinfected, my friends.
That's so true.
And if they're not coming over – I mean, if you're waiting sort of 2 weeks between having, then you don't have anything.
Yeah.
And sort of, you know, because the gestation – is that the term? That's not incubation.
I don't think it's that. I think it's just the life, blood. The life experience.
None of that either. The circle of life.
Here's the thing. My dad played tennis. Okay. That's the bottom line. My dad played tennis. I wanted attention from my dad. I love tennis to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah. I love that. Did he play tennis well?
He did play well. He did play well, for sure. Yeah. But it was always in a social way, which is how I play as well, in terms of a lot of doubles and a lot of, you know, you leave the house in the morning and you're coming back in 3 hours. It's not like golf, like 5 or 8 hours, but you will play 2 hours of doubles and then maybe get a coffee. So it's really a very social sport.
Okay, because you're playing two games essentially. Which how long does a game last in tennis? I don't even know.
In tennis, it could be a doubles match could go anywhere from 15 minutes to 35 minutes. Depends.
Oh, pretty quick. Because what do you play up to? I don't even know.
Well,
there's love. That's all I know. Tell me about tennis.
Really? That's incredible. That's incredible.
I don't know anything.
The thing is, Jackie, everybody can play tennis. Like it's such a wonderful sport. And pickleball, which we're going to talk about. But both these sports, it doesn't matter. Honestly, you can be 3 or you can be 85 years old. Everybody can play these sports because it's an independent sport. You know, it's as best as you can do. You're not competing. It's not a team sport. And it's always easy to find a partner. So in tennis, by the way, you see, I play so much tennis, I have a tennis elbow. See that sticking out right there?
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah, it's gross.
That's a bone that happens when you play tennis a lot?
It's inflamed. Yeah, isn't it gross?
But
I wear this now.
I would never say. Yeah, what is that supposed to do?
Puts pressure on the biggest tendon in your forearm, and it puts pressure on it, so it's relieving the tension on your arm, and it just takes a lot of the pain away. I'm feeling really good today, actually.
Okay.
I'm feeling really good today. But anyway, so in tennis, 5 would be the first number. So you start off 0-0.
Okay.
And then if someone, they serve it, you only score points on your turn. And this is very true with a lot of,
I think.
I shouldn't say that. Hold on 1 second. Well, no, that's not right. I just totally blanked out. I totally blanked out. No, I shouldn't say that. But that's true in pickleball and in ping pong. You only score on your serve. But in tennis, you start, let's say I'm serving. I'm going to serve for at least 4 balls, at least. So it's my serve, then X, it'll be your serve. But let's say I start the serve, I throw the ball up, I hit it to you, it lands in the first 4 court on your side of the net.
Okay.
You hit it back, I hit it back, and now we're going back and forth. And then all of a sudden you miss it or it goes out past the baseline.
Okay.
Then that gives me 5 points. That's the first increment, 5.
Okay.
If they get a point the next turn, you hit it out or it goes out of bounds, then they get 5. So it can often be 5-5.
Okay.
What's interesting is a lot of people call this 15-15.
Yeah.
So it's the same though. 5-5 and 15-15 are the same.
Okay. Here's my first quick question. So you're serving, you go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. If you miss the ball, do they get the first 5 points or the first 15 points?
Yes, they do. So
it
would be
so it can
zero
go either way.
Or love. Yeah, 0 and love mean the same.
Why?
And five,
what is the love business? Any idea?
Same.
Do you have any idea?
You know,
what the history?
It's. I think I'm going to say it originated in England, but I'm not positive. I don't even know why I'm saying that.
And we don't even know. And we don't know why they were like. I love it having no points. I just love having no points.
I mean, I definitely think there must be a reason. I mean, for sure. But
and it doesn't
honestly,
matter.
I don't know. And you know,
someone
I've actually
will email me. It'll be okay.
Yeah, I've been to the International Tennis Hall of Fame.
Oh.
Which is in Newport, Rhode Island. And you'd think I'd even have learned it there, but I did not.
Just in passing. You just love the game. So
I love the game.
What do you love
I do.
It because it's a lot of running? Or
no, because my dad, it's social.
Right.
I it's not at all like you need to get 11 people to play with you, like a team or something.
Okay.
And you could play anywhere. You know, you could take your racket, or most places have rackets to rent. But you could just take your racket, your tennis shoes, you're ready to go. It's a cheap sport. You know, you don't need to keep buying stuff. It's not like, you know, golf clubs where you have to buy so many different ones. It's just a very practical sport, no matter what.
And you
can
buy
age.
A cheap tennis racket.
You can get a tennis racket for $5. You can get a tennis racket for $2,000, for sure.
Right, and probably you can get a tennis racket at a garage sale
for
super
sure.
cheap.
Oh, they've come so far. It's really funny in the International Tennis Hall of Fame. The rackets are hilarious. You remember when we were kids, it would be this racket with this, you know, a small, tiny head on it, and then there'd be like Billie Jean King's face would be like right in the center, looking right at you. And they had a wooden frame around them. They were wooden rackets. Now they're mostly made of titanium or different metals.
Okay. Sort of like baseball bats, I guess. But wait, yeah, because I remember my dad used to get into things for like a summer. And one summer he did get into tennis. And so he bought us each $5 tennis rackets. And then he had a $30 tennis racket or whatever it cost.
Yeah.
And his
yeah.
did have one of those frames because the racket, of course, is round.
Right.
But the frame was a wooden sort of hexagon.
Isn't that funny? And then it had like a nut.
Yeah.
A wing nut.
Wing nuts to
Super
tighten.
Funny.
Yeah.
Now we just put our stuff in
a bag.
In a little bag. I did a little segment on my show once called "What's in Your Tennis Bag?" And it was just asking my tennis friends, "What's in your tennis bag?" Because it is a good question. People keep in their sunscreen, tennis balls, some money, chapstick, tampons, you know.
It's a purse.
It's a
tennis purse. That's what you're rocking. You're rocking a tennis purse. Good for you.
I also love tennis just from the fact of like, you watch a pro come out of like the locker room, like Rafael Nadal, my boyfriend, and he's coming out with like a big bag. He's got maybe 6 or 8 rackets in there, maybe even 10. And it's just him and this bag. And he sits on the bench all by himself. There's no coach. There's nobody to help him. There's nobody to tell him what to do. He's just by himself. He plays the game, sits down, drinks the water, plays the game, sits down, drinks the water. He picks up his bag. Goes back in the locker room. You know, it's very nonplussed.
Right. There's no big coaches and stuff? And
They have
like
tennis coaches, but they're not allowed to be near the player.
Oh, really?
They're in the stands.
What?
Yeah, and there's been people like Serena Williams, because they'll give them tips on how the other person is playing. Or they'll say, that guy's backhand is really weak today. Hit over there.
Oh,
because
if they see something. But
but
it's allowed in other sports. That's so interesting that they don't allow that in tennis.
It is
they're
interesting.
They're like, why don't you figure it out yourself? Why don't you watch how they're playing and you just play the person you're playing instead of the second set of eyes that's going, I think his ankles look good. He must have twisted his ankle a couple of weeks ago or something. Interesting.
Also, the head of a tennis racket is not a circle. It's an oval, of course. It's an oval. I know you meant that. It's an oval. And there could be a regular sized racket or an oversized head racket. Like if the head of your racket is oversized, it can be that way. But standard rackets, they used to be 32 inches. Now they're down to like 29 inches. I mean, they've changed. Tennis has changed over the years for sure.
For sure. Because because it was like, they're like basketballs. Like basketballs have to be a certain width or round.
Oh, I'm sure everything is very measured out, I would
think.
Yeah.
So with professional rackets, they used to be 32 inches and now they're smaller?
Yeah, they're only 29. 29 inches is the professional level. When you get a racket for a child, the head of the racket will be much smaller. As the child grows, the head of the racket grows. Now, my daughter's only, she's only 13, but she already has a 27-inch racket. Which next is up, mine's 29. Yeah, she'll go up to 29. But
which is an adult-size racket.
Yeah, you move up real quick.
Because, why would you want a smaller racket for a smaller child? You would think a bigger area.
It's just the weight, I think, of them.
You know? Fair enough.
Think about waving a stick. Yeah, think about bowling balls or waving a stick around, you know. What do you want? You want a short one, a long one?
Right, exactly. It's a you want to be able to hold it correctly. It's like having a shorter bat or a longer bat and stuff like that. Yeah. That's interesting. So and that's sort of the gold standard, right? There's tennis. And then the other things are more like, let's go to pickleball just because I don't know what, I mean, Darlene's tried to explain it to me. I don't care.
It's not that I don't care.
I haven't been able to, is it a team sport?
Yes, it's often, most often played in a doubles fashion, but you can definitely play singles. The thing with pickleball is it has elements of badminton, table tennis, and tennis. So there's three things happening at once. It is scored like ping pong, so it goes to 11. Sometimes in tournament plays, they go to 15 or 21, but generally, if you and I were playing, we'd go to 11.
Okay.
And if you are serving, you are going to serve. You can only get points on your serve.
So, are they one-point increments?
Correct. Yes, okay. They are. Only 1 point. He doesn't do the 5-love, 15-love, nothing like that. And pickleball is just much simpler to play. It's very simple to play. You're very close together. The net is between you. It's on a small court, really the size of a badminton court, which is a quarter of a tennis court. So if you look at a tennis court, just put it in quarters, it's one of those quarters.
Okay.
There's no net all the way across the big court, the tennis court, because it is a tennis court. It's a hard surface.
Right.
There's no net all the way across. There could be, but you're playing with individual nets. So if you look at the tennis court, you're looking at four nets.
Okay.
And there's four people playing at each net.
Okay. Two and
so
two.
There's 16 people on the court. Seriously, it's like a party.
Yeah.
Pickleball is so fun and so social.
Okay. But is the racket more like a badminton?
The racket does not have any strings at all. It's a hard surface, solid, made of either wood or ping pong has that rubber thing on the outside.
Yep.
A pickleball racket, I should grab mine. It's made of wood or just composite materials.
Okay.
Yeah, and it has in it you hit with it the ball, which is like a wiffle ball.
Oh, interesting.
Isn't that interesting? I know.
Plastic with holes?
Correct. 26 to 40 holes in each ball. And a pickleball can break. You know, tennis balls they get weak because they lose air and deflate. A pickleball will crack. That's the problem there, where you have to change them. And they're not that cheap. They're like at least $3 a ball.
Okay.
Can kind of add up. I mean, it's nothing.
It could add up if you were a kid that was really into pickleball. You're like, I got to get a – it's like getting a can of tennis balls, and then you're still using a tennis ball when all the fuzz is gone.
Yeah, no, it's no good.
Yeah.
No good. Pickleball started in the 1960s, actually, so it's actually been around quite a while. And it was started as a children's game. I know how this could have happened because, you know, you grew up in the Midwest, so did I. And you remember there's nothing to do, right? And we've got all these kids and there's nothing to do. And you got like a ball and maybe you got a bat or you got some sort of paddle and you're in the driveway and you just start hitting that ball back and forth with a paddle or a piece of wood or whatever you have.
Right.
You can just see how that would happen. And you're close together because you're kids.
Right, and you have different equipment from different games, and you're like, this is what we've got. We've got one pretty good wiffle ball. We've got a couple of good ping pong paddles.
Yeah, and, let's just play something.
Yeah,
I know. I love that.
Yeah, that's great, and it is super social if there's six, you know. And I think that the one person I know that plays pickleball, Darlene, is in a league. Are you in a league?
For sure. I'm not. Mark Fernandez, he and I play together quite a bit.
Sure.
And I think he might be in a league.
Okay. Mark Fernandez.
I taught him to play, and now he's like 10 times better than I am. Because really he's strong. No, but there is a, because, okay, you have to be very, have a lot of agility. It always reminds me of doing those suicides in grade school or junior high school. You have to run back and forth in gym class.
Okay, yeah. Because are you running short distances?
You are. And you're moving forward and back and forward and back and forward and back. So you are sweating within like 4 minutes. Like, it's really a lot more exertion than tennis, but it's in a close distance. Everybody's very tight.
Okay.
Wow. So it's weird. In a way, you're like, oh, we're playing a baby sport. Dink, dink, dink. And they even call it like dinking. They call it D-I-N-K, dinking the ball over the net.
Yeah.
Dink, dink, dink. And it's like a baby sport until you get a Mark Fernandez or a tall dude, and then they go, boom. And they hit it so fucking hard, you jump out of the way.
Well, yeah, because if you got hit by a wiffle ball, that would be actually painful.
It hurts so bad. It's almost like the pain of a paintball. Like, it's like, oh, shit, you know?
Right,
like, it's
very specific.
And if you watch on YouTube pickleball, like the pros, forget about it. Like, fucking astounding. You'd never step on that court. You wouldn't step on the court. You'd get smashed.
Well, but I one time saw professional tennis. And but it was just one of those friendly matches.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That was like watching, outstanding to mm-hmm. see like somebody just casually, and they were going so fast back and forth. And there was a grace to it.
Oh my gosh, for sure. It's very beautiful. And you can see the athletes' bodies. You can see the body.
The athleticism does seem very, because the thing about tennis is that it feels like you want to get it into the corner. Like you do, I've played some ping pong, don't want to brag. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you want to get it in the corner so that they can't reach it.
Yes.
And that's got to be a lot of running back and forth too.
Yes, of course, of course. But then there's, over the net, if you can dink it over the net, they'll never fucking get up there. They can't get up there.
Oh,
so
right.
There's all these ways to play.
Right.
Yeah. And it starts off, there's the first player. If you're playing, most people are playing doubles. You're behind the baseline all the way in the back. And you take the ball, the wiffle ball in your hand. And with your paddle, you're hitting it underhand in a very, almost like a easy fashion. It is
just
not
a lob.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Really. Yes, that's right. Because it's not serving at all. It's not like tennis. You throw it up and smash it. It has to be underhand and you go, and that goes across the net into the same corner where you – or the same a quadrant in the front where you would for tennis.
Okay.
And then that guy has to return it in your quadrant.
Okay.
Once
so is that kitty corner?
That's kitty corner, yeah.
Okay.
Once I hit it over there, I serve it to you, you hit it back to me, now game on. We can all start – after I hit that ball, then we can both start moving to the net. And then most of pickleball is played right at the net. Very close, and it's just like extremely quick movements. Really,
I think it's very
competitive.
Okay, and so with a solid paddle or a racket,
correct? Yeah,
it's hard to. I would think it would be hard to be subtle with it, which is why, like, to sort of lob it over somebody's head. If everybody's up close at the net, is there? I mean, I'm sure there's a skill set that
can
do that.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, you go pop. You pop it up and over them, behind them, and now everybody's scrambling back, to try to get it.
Right.
It's fun, man. It's a really fun sport. And again, you get to know other people, because what will happen, like in Santa Monica, there's like they use 6 tennis courts. 4 people on a tennis court, 16 times 6 is about 100 people on that court.
Right.
And you sign in. And if you're a local, it's free. If you're out of town, like I'm out of town because I'm across town, mm-hmm. it's $4. And you get in the queue, and then there's these forms of people waiting. It's almost like in a queue, and then that game is finished, and there's a guy who's leading us, okay? Go over to court 7, you're up. Okay, you're going over to court 6, and you just
play
with whoever.
Do you play winners?
Yeah.
Do winners get to stay?
The winning team gets to stay, and then they bring in new people. And there's a whole system that I'm not that familiar with, but I just do what they tell me. And you go. So even if I go with, like, my boyfriend or somebody, it doesn't mean we're necessarily going to be playing together.
Oh, right, because it's singles.
They start swapping. Yeah.
Yep.
It's super fun.
Okay, and here's the other question about the racket. Are people doing, like, on with ping pong, you can slide it and then spin the ball.
Yeah. Totally, but you're not allowed to do that on the serve. The serve has to be nice and easy and just hitting it right into that their forecourt.
And you
but
can't
then after that,
touch, you can't touch the ball, though, can you?
No. It's just
so
in
you
your
have
hand.
To figure out how to spin it sort of in air.
Well, it's super fun. Well, I mean, it bounces. No, it can bounce or not bounce.
Oh, interesting.
And then, yeah, and then it's super exciting when you do spin it because you just, you know, you just kind of your hand slices down. If they see you make the slice, they know what's coming.
Yeah.
So that's something if you are playing somebody, you want to see how, where are they going? How are they going to hit this ball at me? So you have to pay very close attention.
Yeah.
And then one of the funniest things in pickleball is that directly on the other side of the net, on your side of the net and on my side of the net, there's a little box carved out. It kind of looks like a dugout. Not carved out, but it would be marked off with whatever, chalk or whatever. And that's called the kitchen. And you can't go in the kitchen if the ball's in the air. The ball can bounce in the kitchen and you can hit it, but you cannot go right to the net and slam down because that would be there would be no contest. You know what
right.
I mean? Right. I mean, you'd stay out of the kitchen. So that's okay. Part of the game as well.
So there's sort of a corridor that you can't get into. Correct. It'll bounce there, and then you have to. Then you could hit it, but you
yeah.
There's none of those slam dunks that are in tennis.
You
or in badminton,
that, no.
In or volleyball.
Yeah.
Volleyball is more that, actually.
Volleyball is all slamming.
Yeah.
You know, nobody just hits it back and forth. They're all setting each other up for the third guy.
Yeah.
So right. Pickleball is like that, too. You know, you're setting each other up. So if you're playing the net and you're not in the kitchen, but you're up at the net, then I better be way back there because if he lobs it over your head, you just can't get back there. I mean, certain players can. Mark Fernandez, he dives for him. I've seen him just like, I mean, just it's really
what,
athletic.
On asphalt?
No. It's a top surface, just like tennis, or hard surface, just like tennis. It is the same as a tennis court.
Okay,
and there
but
often
it's not
are
grass.
The tennis courts. No. Tennis you can play on the hard surface and or grass or clay, like the French Open, which my boyfriend Rafael Nadal always seems to win. They call him the King of Clay. That's
yes.
The French Open. But most of the other opens are, except for Wimbledon. Wimbledon is on grass.
Yep.
But most of the others are just on a hard surface, like the Australian Open.
And Mark Fernandez is jumping and then falling on a hard surface as he tries to make these things? He's got to be all scraped up when he gets up.
Everybody is sweating a lot.
Everyone should find Mark Fernandez, by the way. He's
so
a very
great.
Funny comic. Yeah.
He's a wonderful person. So flippant supportive. Such a good guy. And more handsome than ever. He does not, I think he's 58. He looks, I mean, just a really good looking guy.
He's always been a very good looking young man. He's always been a very good looking man. nobody denies that. But what I will say though is, okay, so here's what I do want to know. So you lob it over. That's
yeah.
The serve. It's got to hit your opposing kitty corner quadrant.
Correct.
They hit it back. It's got to hit your opposing kitty corner.
That's right, right.
And then it's a free for all.
Game on, man.
Just
game
can't
on.
Do the kitchen.
Can't hit it. Well, you can hit it. It can land in the kitchen, but you can't hit it in the air in the kitchen.
It can bounce,
and then you get it out of there.
How
but
many
it's very
times?
Tempting to hit it. So sometimes you'll hit it, and they'll say, "Ah, you're in the kitchen."
That's it. How many times can it bounce?
Oh, just the one.
Just one time on the side of the net.
That's correct. And here's another exciting part about pickleball is that elderly people and people that are disabled can play. They have something called para pickleball. Say that three times fast.
Okay.
And it's basically wheelchair pickleball.
Oh, that's where it all fell apart. The word wheelchair.
Wheelchair pickleball.
So, okay. So if it bounces once, can you paddle to somebody, your partner, like volleyball, and then they hit it over? Or do you have to hit it? It can bounce once, and then whoever hits it has to hit it back over the net.
Over the net, just like the other racket sports. I don't know of any that allow you to go interplay like that.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because that would be more volleyball than anything, so that is cool.
Yeah. It's funny to look at a pickleball court at first, because it looks like a childish game. It looks like, what are all these grown people? Like, if you're a tall person, even on you and I, Jackie, that net would only come up to maybe our thighs. It's very small.
What?
It's only
wait, the net is
notes.
Low?
Yeah, well, because the whole game is low, right? Because it's a tiny game. So I think that I know that the pickleball court net is 34 inches on the outsides of the net, and then it kind of sags in to 32 inches. So if you put your finger on the, put your hand on the ground, you know what I mean? You and I are like 64 inches.
Right.
So So it's so, it's at our waist. It's tiny. It's a tiny neck.
Right, because like tennis is more like chest,
normal size.
Yeah, chest size. And badminton is up high. So this thing is more waist or knee length.
Yeah, it's tiny. It's super fun.
I didn't really know that it was tiny. That's hilarious.
It's a tiny sport that you think at first, like, what are these childish people doing? What a joke. And then you start hearing the grunting, the screaming, the fighting. I mean, it is full on, honestly.
That is intense.
It's fun.
It's super fun.
I found it. I just found it last year. My racket was only $40. I have a good racket. You spend more in balls because a can of balls is like $10. That's it.
Do you have to provide a ball when you pay your $4 down there?
No, you don't. But it is funny how people, like, you could have balls or not, and they'll still let you play in Santa Monica, of course. But it is funny how people mark their balls because they're expensive. You don't want to lose a ball.
Right. You want to put your initials on that ball, and it's a wiffle ball.
The other thing in Santa Monica they do, and I think they do this in many places across the country because pickleball is a pretty big thing now, is they will always offer free lessons. And they do that in Santa Monica. This guy, Doug, who runs it, he'll be like, oh, you guys are new? Come on in, man. Play over here with Steve. Steve, teach these guys, are brand new. So it's very inclusive.
That's amazing. I love that.
I know.
That's awesome. He just does it. The person who runs that is just doing it in the course of the game. There's no show up early like line dancing, learn how to do it kind of thing. Okay. And where's
And then everybody starts talking because there's a water table and you can get water. And everybody's chatting and saying, oh, man, where'd you get that bag? Oh, that's a good looking hat. Hey, I like that ball. Because balls can be made out of different things. And people, like, criticize certain balls.
They can be made out of any plastic, but they just have to have those required number of holes?
Well, it depends. The holes could be different. I mean, in other words, it ranges from 25 to 40 holes.
Okay.
It looks just like a wiffle ball. It's very light. It's nothing. But if you would rub it across the surface, like with your paddle, you could tell if it was cracked. If it's cracked, no good.
Okay. So what else are they making them out of, if not just wiffle ball plastic?
I don't know. I'm not sure. But there's ones
that are
called,
you've seen weird looking balls?
They're not weird looking. They all look the same, but they're just really, like, there's better ones than other ones. I'm trying to think some of the best ones because some of them are called like diamonds or something. That's not what it is.
Okay.
But it's something like, I forget. Yeah. But it's a whole thing. Well, just like with tennis balls. Okay. If you go to Target, you're not going to get good tennis balls. You're going to get 10 threes and they're going to be bullshit. I mean, they're going to be just shitty. You're going to play with them once and you're done. You could play again. Of course you can, but not really if you know how to play tennis.
Because what happens to them? They just deflate.
They're just, it's not good. They don't have any more bounce. Tennis ball, it's all about the bounce, really. And pickleball, you want to bounce that ball in front of you with your hand out, and it should come up to at least your waist. And if the ball is not in that kind of shape, then it's going to be weak and not bounce that high.
Okay. So, this is interesting. Let's discuss different balls.
Yeah.
By the way, I am talking with Christine Blackburn, who has a long-running 10 years, this is 10 years, July, of Storyworthy, and it's at Storyworthy on Instagram and Twitter. And,
Jackie, Dork Force has been like 13 years, right?
Right. This is the 13th year.
Isn't that exciting? You were totally one of the founders.
We both got to be in pretty early on the ground floor of something that doesn't make a lot of money. But that's okay.
But it's
super fun, right?
I love it, man. I really do. And I've met some really good people. I've met so many good people.
Yeah.
Even at podcast festivals and stuff like that. I've met
even more. Really the people who came to podcast festivals were like, yes, you are correct. I am spending $600 to go to a podcast festival.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
It's huge.
Yeah. And we're blowing smoke up your asses, Rangers. You're the best fans ever. Podcast fans are the best.
Yeah.
So tennis balls. I have a can of balls that have been in my closet that my chiropractor gave me that I'm supposed to roll on my back a tennis ball.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I thought you were going to say, should I play with them? I'm going to tell you that they probably not, they don't hold. Tennis balls will hold for a while, 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, even maybe, unless you're in the back of your car. The sun is no good on tennis balls and they heat up and then they lose the I don't know what you call it. The
bounce?
The bounce.
They lose the bounce. That's probably not the technical term, but I'll take it.
I'll take that. And yeah, no. And so,
but you a know, can of tennis balls at Target.
Yeah, but they're going to be, and they're okay, but they're not going to last. So you pull that can back, it goes, psh,
yeah.
Great sound. It's a really satisfying sound. But you're going to find better balls at the Racket Doctor, which is the largest racket store in Los Angeles. It's a wonderful independently owned racket store.
Where is it?
Four different stringers, which is a lot, in Atwater Village.
Okay.
Right on the main strip there. And that's very close to where I live as well, so it's helpful. And those guys, they have four stringers, which means they can. There's a lot of things going on. People are always getting their rackets restrung there. You have to restring your racket on a tennis, and you know, in tennis, you have to restring your racket. Now, my father would say that you should restring your racket as often as you play. So, if you play 3 days a week, you should restring your racket three times a year.
Oh.
If you play 4 days a week, then you restring your racket four times a year, etc.
Okay.
Most people, once a year.
And how much does it cost to restring a racket? Probably $50 or something, right?
No. It could be, depending on the strings you get. If you get like real gut, yeah, that's going to be high. But if you get a polyester or a nylon, like I do, I always say, first of all, I say, what's on sale?
Yeah.
And a lot of times they'll say, these strings, but I only have them in orange. Or I only have them in green, like colors that other people don't want.
Yeah.
I do not care about the color of my racket strings. I will say, yes, thank you. You know, and it'll be like $22.99 or $24.99.
Yeah.
But you could certainly get much more expensive strings. It just depends on the racket. And these pros, man, it's like they have their own stringers at home. It's a whole thing. They're going with one brand. They're sponsored, et cetera. I mean, tennis gets very obviously expensive and big and businesslike very quickly.
Right, because there's a fair amount of money in it. But what is with the cat gut? What is happening?
Same with guitar strings can be made out of that as well. Strings, you know.
All strings. People were taking just cats,
gut,
or
yeah,
just.
And I think it's just the cat. Yeah, just the cat. Just the
for
feline.
For some reason, I'm not a huge cat person, but it feels rude. Yeah. Feels rude.
Well, if you ever heard a violin making a cat sound, I think that's where they got the word. It goes.
Because they're not really cat guts? You're like, I desperately needed you to laugh at my impression of a cat.
No, this is a violin with cat.
I know. But what? But I do am curious. Is it really animal gut that they're using to string these things with?
Think, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, why wouldn't it be?
Well,
I do. I think so, yeah.
Because it feels rude. But I know that when I was a child, my $5 racket had plastic. It was literally, the damn thing might have just been a prop.
Wow.
And my sister plays tennis sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But she likes tennis. She likes golf. She likes a solo sport where I think she likes where you only have to find like one other person to play a game.
Yes. Well, another thing that's interesting about me too, that first of all is very true. Mm-hmm. The other thing that's interesting about tennis is the way that they format the tournaments. They move the tournaments from, they start in Australia at the beginning of the year. The Australian Open is always in the month of January, always. And then they start moving west, right? Because next one is the French Open.
Okay.
That's next. And after the French Open is Wimbledon further, right? And then it ends up at the U.S. Open in New York. So it kind of like goes around the earth that way.
Okay.
Kind of cool. And there's a season for every tournament, you know, and these guys go on to win Grand Slams and stuff, which means that they've won all those tournaments.
Oh, okay.
And real quick, another thing my dad always used to say about tennis, he'd say, Chrissy, let me tell you something. Or he'd say, Christopher, call me Christopher a lot. Christopher, let me tell you something. You look at these college athletes, these tennis players, these guys, they are hitting that ball so goddamn hard. These guys are unbelievable. You watch a college athlete play tennis, you can't believe what you're seeing. Then you go to the U.S. Open, and it's a whole nother level.
Wow. Did he ever get to go to a U.S. Open?
Yeah, my dad went to 15 in a row.
What? That's awesome.
He left the one on 9/11 on 9/10. It ended on 9/9. My dad left September 10th, and then 9/11.
Wow. But he still made the game, right?
Oh, yeah. He made saw the whole game. It all worked out.
9/11 just seems there's not a child in the world who's going to want to hear any of our 9/11 stories.
Yeah. Well, and also it seems quite small considering
right now,
what's happening
right now. 20 years later, and we're living in the weirdest thing to tell your grandkids. So but I will say that, so I want to get back briefly to tennis balls.
Yeah.
What is the best brand of tennis ball? And are there different weights? I feel like there's different weights.
Oh, that could, no, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't
just
think
all
that
tennis
could
balls. Okay.
Yeah. I think there's all tennis balls.
Fair enough.
My favorite balls of all time just got, discontinued last year, about 2 years ago, got discontinued. And I'll be honest with you, between you and I, Jackie, I wept on that day.
Cause you did
bit.
Not, cause there's no way
a
to save
bit.
Them. Cause the,
you can't get them anymore. If they're done, they're done. So these are balls are called Slazengers.
Yeah.
Best balls in the world. They come from England. S-L-A-Z-E-N-G-E-R. Slazengers.
I thought you were going to spell England. Anyway, so I'm so glad you didn't.
E-N, yeah. Slazengers. They come four in a pack. First of all, I love four. Forget the three. I want four.
Okay.
Most other people also sell them in fours now. Penn sells fours. I mean, everybody sells fours. Wilson sells fours. But they also have threes. Slazengers only ever came in fours. They're British, and they were always a little bit higher, $4.99, where you can get the pens for $3.99. But the Slazengers were always worth it because they lasted longer, period. That's it. We could play with this ball. I play with Matt Oswald. I don't know. You know Matt.
Yeah.
He and I play a lot. We could play with Slazengers, a can of Slazengers, for a month. Good balls.
How many times do you play tennis a week?
Before this activity,
yeah.
We were playing like 3 days, three days.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
and anyway,
three or four
really,
days a week, you'll play tennis.
Yeah, yeah.
And so let's say so 12 games, four balls, that can of balls is done.
It depends on how hard, not with my hitting, but with my friend Matt's, because he's really strong.
Right.
It depends on how strong you are. If a pro's hitting them, probably like four hits and they get another
less.
Ball.
Yeah.
So it depends on who's hitting the ball. And again, I don't ever want to discourage people to not play tennis because of balls. You play with anything you find. I don't even care if it's a tennis ball. Just start hitting something and you'll see. It's super fun.
Get a racket, make one. Doesn't even have to be a racket.
Yeah.
Just get a thing.
Yeah, just start hitting.
Invent your own pickleball. You can do it. That's how they did it. And so that's cool. So there's – because I think the can of tennis balls that are not good for anything except for rolling on my back.
Such a good thing though, right? Because it's a very firm and consistent pressure.
Yeah.
That's why they're good.
That's why that's why they bounce good.
Yeah.
And I believe –
well, no, that's why it makes your back good feel good.
Oh,
like if you're
right.
Sitting in your chair, put it on the back of your chair like that.
Right. There's other uses for these. Yeah. So when you're done with a ball of a can of balls, do you got to toss them?
I tell you, I at any given time have 100 balls in my trunk. At any given time.
Just
minimum.
In case you don't have a ball, you're like, well, maybe I could use one of these.
I just don't want to throw balls away because I know people can use them for different things, primarily.
For dogs.
For dogs. Oh, my gosh. I've given away. My friend Carrie Armstrong, I hit balls over. Sometimes I just leave the tennis court and Carrie lives down the hill. I drive over to her house and just hit balls into her yard because she has three dogs.
Oh, okay.
And I'd hit all my old balls into her yard. And, yeah, several of my friends have dogs, but also for my daughter in all of her classrooms when she was in elementary school,
mm-hmm.
like K1, 2, 3, 4, I would donate all the tennis balls for another parent to drill, make a hole in them, and then put them on the bottom of the chairs in school.
Oh, to save the floors?
Just to save everybody's heads because they scrape the floor and stuff.
Oh, right.
But if it has balls on the end, you're good.
Right. Then you're just, you could go through them a thousand balls. Cause I mean, from the sound of it, you're going through a lot of tennis balls a year.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of people just leave them a lot. My friend Matt doesn't even have a tennis bag. He just carries his racket. He doesn't even have, talking about what's in your tennis bag. He doesn't even have a bag, you know? So some people are just walking around with a racket, but most people have a bag and then they'll, at the end of the match, they'll just leave the balls on the bench.
Oh, which is a great way for kids to find balls to play with.
Yeah.
Balls.
Yeah. When they're dead, sometimes I hit them out too, just because it's fun to hit them.
Yeah.
But if we see balls on the bench when we get there, the first thing we say is like, we'll see how they are. Because if they're good, we're using them like now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
Might as well. Right.
Always.
And
so
there was another. Okay. So the pickleball balls,
Well, let me tell you that between tennis and pickleball, what a lot of the courts have done, like Santa Monica and like Burbank, they'll take a tennis court that's, you know, eight courts, four courts, 12 courts, whatever it is. And on Saturdays or Sundays or both days, they'll just block off these three courts for pickleball. And then some guys come in with the little tiny nets and they put them, they set them up. It's not that hard to get these little nets, especially on Amazon. Set them up and then start playing. So they're playing. So you might think to yourself, I've never even seen a pickleball court, because generally they're not, they're on the tennis court.
Wait, so they have to take down the tennis?
No, they leave the net up in between. If it's a real pickleball court, like in Burbank, there is no net in between.
Okay.
But if you're playing like in Santa Monica, then
you're they'll just sort of rotate
it's a regular tennis court.
Okay.
No, they don't know. They just leave it where it is. And then there's two sets of four play on one side and two sets of four play on the other side.
That's right. That's right. Because it breaks up into four actual courts.
It's really neat. It's really neat. Yeah.
That's cool. What else? But I was wondering about the pickleball balls. How much do they cost?
They're not cheap, man. They're like $3 a piece, $4 a piece, $5 a piece. And when you buy them on Amazon, you can play. You could buy 1, 2, 3, or 36.
Oh, wow.
Like they have these big things. And I'm like, I don't have $300 sitting around for a box of pickleballs.
Right, right. I can find $5. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to find And how often do you play pickleball? Do you play every weekend before
on the weekends. Yeah, on Saturdays. And Mark Fernandez, I'd say, watch this. And I'll say, we'll go over to play with these other people. And then when you're playing with people you don't know, you're just like, okay, what ball do you want to use? And I'll say, they'll never use my ball. They'll never use my ball. I go, well, I got this. Nah, that's all right. My balls are never good enough. And I'm like, okay, if you guys don't have children, you're not a single parent. I really, God bless you with those $15 balls. Oh, they're called Onyxes. I said diamond. Isn't that funny?
Right.
Onyx. O-N-Y-X. Those are the best balls.
Awesome. That's hilarious, too. They're $15 balls?
I'm not quite sure, but to me, it's a lot.
Maybe yeah, that's
10,
a lot.
But it's still a lot.
So talk to me about this elbow. How long is it going to take to fix this elbow so you can play again?
I've had several tennis elbows in my life. This is not the first case. It's always very disappointing.
Really?
Yeah,
it's just it's just disappointing? What the
Well, it's disappointing because I bring it on myself and I overwork my arm.
Right.
I hit with Matt Oswalt and he'll just slam a ball. And I'll say, what the fuck? And I don't hit it, you know? And I'll say, what are you doing? And he'll say, I just want to get that one good one. You know,
yeah.
But if I reach out and I hit that, just that one hit, how fast he's hitting that ball, I don't know what he's hitting at, 80 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour. I could get tennis elbow on one.
and it's literally, it's just essentially the tendon has swollen up because it was the stress.
Yeah, and it
looks
inflamed.
Like a bone spur.
I know. But it doesn't just affect your elbow. It affects your whole forearm.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure it's just
And you don't just get it from tennis. You get it. Then I come home. I got to do the laundry. I got to do the shopping. I got to put away the groceries. I got to make the dinner. I got to pick up. So
it just exacerbates it.
It's use of your elbow. And here's one thing, there's no way I could do would be like pick up a pot of coffee. Never going to happen because it's too heavy. Right? It will just hurt so flipping bad.
Oh, it literally just weakens the whole arm.
Yes, yes.
Because essentially you took Matt Oswalt, who, by the way, was on the Dork Forest talking about photography.
I love his photographs. Love
very beautiful, but clearly hitting the ball too hard. But if a guy like him or whoever you're playing against who sends a super fast ball, it might actually just strain that tendon so bad it pops.
Oh, yeah. For me, it doesn't pop. It just, it hurts. And then I yell at him, and then I say,
does
okay.
Does it happen instantaneously?
For me, it does, because I have my elbow's not good. And I'll say, stop it. And he'll say, okay, let's just play. Let's just play. And then I keep playing, and then that's not smart either.
Right.
So anyway, I have this. This is my third band I've tried on my arm. And I went to the doctor yesterday. They said, this is the one. So this is my third one. So hopefully
how long does it take to heal?
Help me.
A couple of weeks? Or
It's been about 6 weeks. And it'll probably be another, I think 1 week, 2 weeks. I think 1 or 2 weeks. But and I'll be very careful again. You know, it's always about just be very careful when you play. It really is something that's what I'm saying it's disappointing, because it's definitely something I can control. As soon as I start feeling it hurt, even if it's doing laundry or cooking or put like a pot off the stove, that could be very hard. Then I should just stop. That's the key. So it's me, I'm a dummy and I don't stop.
Well, you just keep going and don't call yourself a dummy. So, but the thing is, what I'm saying is that So if you can sort of hear it begin to strain.
I feel it
is what I meant. And yeah. And then you should say, you know what? We actually can't play. And so that's your right hand. So have you ever tried to play with your left hand?
That's so funny. Like that if you play an desperate. Instrument, oh, just, you couldn't, you, I couldn't, I yeah. couldn't, I don't, my left arm's not strong enough. No way, no way.
That'd be so funny if you're just like, yeah, I'm just gonna, are there right-handed and left-handed rackets?
No.
Okay, no. Good.
That's interesting, but there are for guitars.
Yeah.
Like Paul McCartney plays a left-handed guitar and it's completely wrong. And it's so odd the way he's playing.
It just looks weird.
Always looks weird.
Yeah, I don't know anything about guitars. But
oh really? You know who you should have on for guitars is Blanka-Patch.
Blanka-Patch. I could have him on. I had
everything about guitars.
Fred Armisen on is an episode about guitars.
Wow.
And I think I tried to talk to Carrie Brownstein about guitars as well, a live one, but it got weeded off into talking about her band, which I did not know anything about. But it was called Slater Kenny. It's probably still working. Wow, there you go, Rangers. Brief glimpse into some shitty music knowledge. Good for you.
I enjoy the Jackie and Lori show so much.
It is a delight, is it not? You know, she has a dog. You should drive by her house and knock a couple of tennis balls for Charmy the puppy pit bull. She has a little blue, one of those blue-nosed pit bull puppies.
Cute.
It's an adorable.
When did she get it?
Like 2-3 weeks ago, right before her mom passed.
I'm so glad. What a nice thing to get. Yeah, before. Oh, wow.
Yeah, just a couple of days before, yeah.
Well, I love Jackie and Lori's show. I love the beginning. Who did that for you? I love it.
Fountains of Wayne? I have no idea.
That's so good. I love it. So good.
Lori knew somebody. She gave, I believe she gave a guy $100.
Beautiful. That's brilliant. I teach podcasting classes and stuff, and I tell people right off the bat, you need music and you need it good and you don't need it free. Don't get it free.
You should always, if you can afford it, invest a little bit of money. Everyone just needs to buy it. Yeah.
No, you have. You don't steal music. Or also, why do that? Because you're just going to get kicked off. With Zoom shows, if you are doing a Zoom show and you start playing somebody's music, you're out. So it's pretty serious. And it's not hard to find free music that's inexpensive, like $20, $30. You can find that music. Then you own it, you know?
Wait, this is interesting. Is Zoom, are we being monitored right now on Zoom? Kind of like YouTube or no? How do you know you get kicked off?
Somebody said that.
Oh, okay.
Well, I know it happens on YouTube as well.
There was literally moments later. You can't have it. And last week's episode was movie soundtracks, and it was with Josh Schneider, the booker for Acme, for Flappers, and he was humming different movie soundtracks because he loves movie soundtrack songs. And I was like, I don't know if this is going to make it onto YouTube because you're pretty good pitch. And it's going to sound like the song.
The good news, bad news. The good news is you have good pitch. The bad news is you're off the show.
Yeah, I don't think it'll play. And then they let it play. So it must be that it's, you can do it a cappella or you can, you know, as long as it isn't instrumental, maybe. Yeah. It's very fascinating. But
interesting.
I will say, so you would encourage, what about ping pong? Let's just do one more racket.
I love ping pong so much. I really do. Like I said, I play it with my daughter right here in my house. I've got this really funny little set that you pull apart the net, boom, flip it onto either side of the dining room table or a picnic table.
I've seen
outside,
that. Yeah.
And then you just start whacking it to each other. It's super fun. What a great idea.
Yeah.
That you could have portable ping pong. I don't know. For me, it's just something about something I can get better at on my own, and whether it's ping pong or pickleball or tennis courts, they always have a backboard kind of a thing where you can, you know, hit on it. Like with ping pong, when you fold it up against the wall.
Oh,
and you just hit on your own. You know, you just hit. Oh, just hit.
Right, like against the garage with the tennis racket.
Yeah, exactly. So it's something you can kind of always do on your own.
That's interesting. Yeah.
And ping pong, my daughter's just as good as me, if not better now. Yeah, kids just are like that. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, that it is amazing, especially, and it's kind of a nice social thing to do with your daughter.
Yeah,
that's outside or that's just one on one.
You put the music on, and then you just talk or play. Yeah,
yeah, Yeah, and then you actually have some nice quality quantity time.
And you always put their music on. That's kind of a big tip in parenting. Let them have the music.
I always let everyone have the music. Yeah, because I don't. I like all kinds of music, but I don't know anything about music.
So you and Andy, when you're in the car together, you just let him pick it and then you go with it.
Well, interestingly enough, we have there's a lot of sort of peaceful silence with Andy Ashcraft. We don't have music on in the car. It's very rare. We just.
Yeah. Jack Blackburn did not allow music in the car because he said he had to hear the engine. Not just at the when you start the car,
that's
but the
dad.
Whole thing. I got to hear the engine, Christopher.
I have to hear the engine is the greatest excuse I've
he was
ever
just
heard.
Looking for peace and quiet, man. I'm telling
you. Yeah, he was just looking for a little silence. Yep. And yesterday Andy and I drove up to be in my mother-in-law's backyard, and we're doing that once a week now.
Nice.
Because she's by herself, and you know you just want a little eye contact.
It's
be
good
nice.
Good company. Yeah.
And so. So it's a 3-hour drive up and a 3-hour drive back.
Wow.
And so there's very little music. Once he starts, like if he gets on his phone, because I drive up and he drives back. If he gets on his phone, I have my earbuds in, but just the left one. So he mm-hmm. can't. So mm-hmm. if he does talk to me,
that's polite. I think that's polite.
Yeah, then I can just listen to the Frozen 2 soundtrack over and over again.
That is not what you listen to.
That is sadly what I am listening to.
Oh my God, you're living my life. That's all I have to hear, but I have a child. Wait a minute.
I have an
real
child, Christine. Christine Blackburn, you guys, you should know that it's called Storyworthy, and it's at Storyworthy. It's available on all of the platforms that one might get a cast to listen to. It's When I Am Older. When I Am Older is the song of the quarantine. Because this will all make sense. It'll all make sense.
What about Lost in the Wood? Do you love that?
Lost in the Woods is hilarious. Because it is an 80s ballad song and it's ridiculous. And tell your daughter this, it's a parable that women can be the primary breadwinners.
Uh-huh.
Because she's got to leave and he's got to be there when she comes back. And it turns out his love is not too precious. That's what you should know about him. It's a great line. Anyway, the other thing, one of my favorite songs is The Next Right Thing. The Next Right Thing.
Outrageous. It's honestly, outrageous. How did you find that music to begin with?
Andy and I saw the movie in the theater. I did not want to go. I did not want to go. He did not know that he would be unleashing kind of a monster.
Wait, did you see it at the El Capitan? Because it was down there.
No.
With like real things sprinkling down.
I know. I do love the stage show with it.
Yeah.
We saw it in, there's a The Man Plant, which is a very funny name. It's a mall called. It's like a strip mall kind of called the Man Strip Mall, and it's called the Plant, and it was a man theater. Now it's the Regency Plant.
Yeah.
But it's just sort of a local theater that has all these. We live in a very working class kind of family neighborhood, so it's a lot of young families, and we saw it with that, and that's what I want to see all movies with, quite honestly.
Yeah.
With young families because it's awesome.
Why? Because the squealing and the excitement, or what?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like glee. There's glee.
Yeah, there's more happiness than watching it with a bunch of hipsters at the ArcLight, and though that can be a joy when sometimes too. So they're just different experiences. Frozen 2 has to be seen with children. But Christine, it has been an hour. You have talked.
Thank
it has
you.
Been an amazing experience. Thank you so much for being on the show.
I'm so happy to be here. And I'd love to teach you to play pickleball. Seriously, we just meet and we just hit. It'd be so fun, really.
Yeah. Well, think about it. Anyway, so it's at Storyworthy on Instagram, Twitter, and iTunes and all the places.
Yes.
Everybody, thank you so much for listening
to
the show. You're welcome.
Yay.
And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?